Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I am Jamie Hill. You almost kind of said Shannon.
I know. I did kind of say Shannon. I didn't mean to, but it came out that way.
We were just visiting our, we just left my sister's house. Like, we're in the car right now. We're doing a car pod, first of all, very exciting.
Yeah.
And second of all, we left my sister's house where also live our two nieces and nephew. And when they were little, they had this weird Vermont-y kind of thing where they would do long A's for everything. So it wasn't Shannon, it was Shannon.
And I kind of said Shannon a little bit. I didn't mean to. Maybe it's, I don't know, when in Vermont or something.
I love it.
But welcome to our podcast today. We've been on a family visit this last week in Vermont visiting Jamie's family. And this is our last day here, actually. And, but, you know, we're dedicated to this podcast.
Heck
so
yes.
Here we are doing a car pod.
Yep. Been thinking about you all, y'all listeners. I just want to let you know, preface what's going to happen here. We're going to probably have a slightly shorter than normal podcast because it's the end of a family vacation, and frankly, I'm exhausted. I think Shannon's tired too. So we're going to do our best, and we're going to finish. And second of all, we're going to be talking about how we feel about having very dear family members who have politics that we find somewhere on a spectrum between alarming and abhorrent. So that's what's coming up.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to name any names, but it happened to me this week. First, though, I would like, as always, to thank our new listeners, welcome our new supporters. Our listener stats were interesting this week.
So
we get different statistics, as y'all know, who've been listening to the podcast for a while, and we get a certain pair of statistics every day, which is A, unique listeners, and B, total number of listens. And over the last 2 days, the number of unique listeners, which I believe is people who come in specifically through like the Misfit Stars website, were really low. They were like 8, 10. But the number of listens was really high, up in the like 120s.
So what do you think of that?
I think what that means is that's the number of people who are pulling it from a third-party app like Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
And that's really interesting to me.
Great.
Because it implies that it's spreading. And I like that.
Okay.
Right? So new listeners,
I think this is something
you.
Like reading tea leaves.
Oh, for sure.
Also, I didn't know that you get statistics in your inbox every day.
Yeah. And it's great because it's the least friendly email in the history of time. It just says, today's statistics, colon. Or it might even not even say that. It might even just say, like listeners, colon, and the number, and plays, colon, the number, and then yesterday's, and that's it. And it gives today's and yesterday's. And, like, if I compare the yesterday one from today with the today one from yesterday, there'll be different numbers also. So I don't know how that works.
None of it makes any sense.
Nope.
They're just sending you random numbers.
Yeah. And I'm looking at them and stroking my beard very sagely and being like,
Also, you don't have a beard. But
also part of the problem, can't grow a beard. Yeah, it's not because I don't want it, it's because I don't want
one. I don't trust the numbers. I don't think they mean anything at all. But
nonetheless,
welcome new listeners. Thank you to our new supporters.
Yeah, and point being, there are people listening to our podcast right now. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
So nice,
thank
so cool.
You.
It just amazes me that people, presumably whom we have never met, are just listening to us talk right now.
Weird.
Yeah, especially for the beginning part of the podcast where it's just uninteresting. I don't know. I like to think that maybe it's a little bit interesting because of our sparkling personalities, but I have doubts.
I'm riveted right now.
Same, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's the welcomes. Welcome, everyone. Bottom line, we're happy you're with us, no matter how you got here. If you would like to become a supporting member of the podcast, brief commercial, we would be very grateful. We would love it if you would do that. This is a listener-supported podcast, and it's really a vehicle for us to give you another way that if you like what Shannon and I are doing in the world, then please use this podcast as an excuse, an opportunity to support that a little bit, the podcast specifically, and then more generally, who we are and what we do. It's a $5 a month minimum commitment. So if you like us and you have $5, please consider becoming a supporting member. You just go to misfitstars.com/join. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. And we would be very grateful. It would help because as with everything else we do in our lives, we don't ask one person for a bunch of support. We ask a bunch of people for a little support. We crowdsource pretty much everything we do in this weird art life that we live. And you could be part of that crowd if you'd like to. So misfitstars.com/join. And thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We've been in Vermont for the last week.
It's been nice.
Yes, it's been good. We sort of do this annual winter visit to Jamie's homeland.
My ancestral homeland.
The mountains, the Green Mountain State.
Yep, it's beautiful.
We've been doing that here this last week, and it's been great. We've gotten lots of family time. We adore spending time with our nieces and nephew, and the rest of the family.
I've been really loving hanging out with my mom and dad, too, and it's great. You know, anyone here who has a parent, you know, sometimes it can be fraught, you know? It's difficult being a adult kid, you know? But it's been wonderful. To me, it's been a really nice visit. You specifically commented to me last night about how much you were enjoying yesterday night, specifically the hang that we were having. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was so good that Shannon remarked upon it. And you know what it's like if you have a spouse and, like, you're at your parents' house and you've brought your spouse with you. Like, you want your spouse to like your parents, right? And you want it not to be a bad experience because your parents are being dildos. And, you know, for them to be so wonderful that Shannon actually commented on it to me felt really good.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, I understand that the way they act isn't my problem and I'm not responsible for it. But also, I mean, I kind of am responsible for bringing you into it. You know what I mean?
I think you're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit on today's podcast topic.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah,
could be.
I think you might be.
Could be.
So reel it back.
Reeling it.
Yeah, okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
But more generally this week, we've been doing hanging out. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
We've gotten to see our nieces and nephew, your uncle and aunt.
Yep. Shout out to Charlie and Jean. Although I call Charlie Bert for obscure 1950s TV show reasons.
All right, for another time.
Yeah.
So it's been a good visit. There's not a whole lot to report. I think that probably two things happened this week, actually, outside of family visit time. Number one is we released our short film for the song Shade.
Yes.
Which was just a really fun experience to get to finally share that with the world.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, it's on my website at shannoncurtis.net. You can also find it on Facebook if you are linked up with either one of us there.
Yeah.
But the short film was created by a student filmmaker in Portland, Oregon, whose work we had seen two summers ago when we were on tour.
He has a name. It's Bruce Bradbury.
Yep. And we really just thought, gosh, we saw his work after he came up to us after a house concert and essentially hustled us for
he
work.
He straight up hustled us. It was great.
And so we're like, sure, we'll look at some of your stuff. We went, and a few nights later, we were in some hotel room, and we were watching, you know, some of the stuff that he had sent us, and we were really moved by the stuff that we saw. And so we thought, you know what, we would love to give this kid an opportunity to do something connected to what we do at some point. And that opportunity came last year when during our fundraiser, we fundraised a level of our album fundraiser to be able to hire Bruce to make a movie for us.
Yeah.
And he did.
Stepping back to when he hustled us, I just wanted to mention that for a second because it was so wonderful. Because at the time he was 17 years old, and like I was when I was 17, he looks much younger. Mm-hmm. You know, which I hated it at the time. I was like, I look 12. I'm never going to get girls. But, you know, I think now, later in life, it's actually doing pretty well for me. So chin up, Bruce.
But it's going to work out.
It's going to work out amazingly well, yeah. but he's got so much more self-confidence and savoir faire than I ever did at that age, I think. You know,
I'm going to have to look up that word later.
Savoir faire means
to know how to do. I'll look it up later. I just said it.
All right, fair. So he approaches us at the table, 17, looking 12, and says, hello, my name is Bruce Bradbury, and I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, you are. That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So, and he gave us a card. He had a card to give us, and he gave it to us.
Yeah.
And we went and checked out his work, like Shannon said, blown away.
Yes.
But anyone listening who's young and is a creative person, just, like, go talk to people about what you do and talk to older people about what you do, because, like, sometimes they'll want to do stuff with you and maybe it would be helpful and good.
That's true.
I don't know.
The film that Bruce made for us is just so beautiful. Please go watch it if you haven't. Share it with people on social media if you are moved by it. He really took the song Shade and just moved it in a direction that I would never have been able to predict, and it just turned out great. So thank you, Bruce, for the great work you did there.
Yeah.
The other sort of, like, outside a family visit thing that happened this week is you had a conversation with an old friend that led into a pretty cool experience this week. Do you want to share about your experience.
Sure. So it was a side quest. If anyone on here knows us a little bit, you'll know that every so often I'll do a side quest. And a side quest, as I define it, is just a little side effort. You know, it's not part of our main, like, or we're not raising money for an album or anything like that. But typically, the shape these have taken is small impromptu fundraising efforts if I see something that I feel like perhaps our people would be interested in helping with. And so I got in touch about a year ago, apropos of my 25th college reunion, with this woman whom I had known when we were in college. And then, like, because it was pre-Facebook when we parted ways after college, like, she wasn't part of my inner circle of friends, you know what I mean? So we just lost touch, because that's kind of how that worked in 1994. And so flash forward to early 2019, and she's in our same class, and she's also part of the, you know, Tufts class of 1994 Facebook group, because that's, you know, now a thing. And we recognized one, I recognized her name on there. I was like, hey, are you blah, blah, blah? And she was. And so we just sort of started being in touch, which was really nice. We got to see each other in person at the reunion and rekindle the relationship a little bit that way. But she just turned into a rad human being.
She is a rad human being.
She's a rad human being. She's rad as a person. She's just a really neat person. And she's also doing really cool things with her life. She is currently working on her doctorate in higher education. She's just insanely smart and using her life to really, like, better other people. You know, when people are going for a doctorate in education, it's because they want to hopefully fundamentally, maybe in a small way, transform for the better our education system from which we all benefit. You know,
yeah.
It's just such an amazing, selfless thing to do.
Yeah.
And she's that person, and it's rad. It's really cool. It's really inspiring. You know, there are some people in this world who do things with their life where it's like, that's really inspiring, and she's one of them. And that's just awesome. She's also been fighting cancer since 2017, so for about 2.5 years now. And it's been coming back, and it's been coming back. I mean, you know, it hasn't been a one-and-done kind of thing with her. Like, she'll whack it down, and it moves. And you know, it's been really hard. It's really, as I'm sure anyone on here who has had experience with someone dealing with cancer knows, like, it takes over your whole life, you know? It takes over your whole life in terms of what you have to do to deal with it. Dealing with, obviously, health insurance can be a catastrophe and really stressful and really hard. The treatments themselves are stressful and hard and painful and rob you of your energy. I mean, like, can't get up out of bed for weeks or months at a time, rob you of your energy. Like, not like you can go to work, you know, it's, or do school or whatever it is. Like, nothing. Everything stops. And, you know, so it was her birthday a few days ago, and I reached out to her on Facebook because that's what I do. And we just got chatting a little bit, and I asked her how she was, and she just alluded to the idea that, chemo, this latest round of chemo, has been kicking her butt. And so I just asked her if there's anything I could do, if she needed anything. And her response was, it was straightforward, and it was heartbreaking. And it was that, you know, I could always use Target gift cards. You know, the clear implication there obviously being that...
there's some basic needs that she could use help with.
Yeah, that's exactly it, you know. And that's just fucking heartbreaking. You know, it's heartbreaking for anybody. And, you know, especially for someone who has been, you know, so outwardly looking, you know, for her adult life, you know.
So I
saw an opportunity to help, and so I just put word out to our community. This is just how this sort of thing works. I'll just do a Facebook post about it, and I'll write what about it for me is compelling, you know, and then I'll just make a call to action. And this time it was, if anyone wants to help me aggregate a little bit of money for a Target gift card that she was asking for, please just, you know, PayPal to me, Venmo, Cash App it, whatever. And I gave the addresses for that, and, you know, just let people do what they wanted to do. And in a period of about a day and a half, our community raised about $2,200 for
her. Pretty awesome.
Which was, it was kind of mind-blowing, honestly. It was, I always put these things out without expectation, because you just never know. Like, we're in a media-saturated environment. News happens at a breakneck pace. People are overwhelmed and oversaturated with information coming at them from all sides all of the time. And so you just never know how much something's going to penetrate, and if it does penetrate, how compelling people will find her, if they'll be able or willing to help. Who knows? There's so many variables. And so, you know, I always figure we've got a big enough reach that we could at least get a couple $100, which would be great. Like a $200 Target gift card would be awesome, you know. But it was so much more than that, you know. It was the kind of amount of money. It's not going to be life-changing or anything like that, but like
hopefully significantly helpful in a time of real need. And
a blessing and a relief, hopefully.
Those of you who are listening here who contributed to that, thank you so much for pitching in. And it's really remarkable, too. You know, I was kind of on the sidelines for this, and, you know, I would hear Jamie's phone make a little ba-king sound when, like, a Venmo payment would come in or something.
And you know, cash register, ka-ching.
Yeah, and so, you know... And he would always tell me, like, who was you know, messaging him with a little bit of money. And most of the time it was like, you know, $10, $25.
Yeah.
You know, like just an amount of money that, you know, is the equivalent of like a lunch or something for someone.
Yeah.
Which, you know, isn't a lot, but the aggregate is a lot. You know, the aggregate, you know, really will mean something to Jamie's friend. And so thank you, those of you who contributed. Like, you have become part of something bigger than yourself. And I don't know, I think that's one of the things about just showing up to life with an open hand and an open heart. You know, like, we can often create something together that, you know, is much bigger than the sum of its parts. You know, like, when we determine to show up with what we have or what we can give, you know, and not just monetarily, you know, we create something bigger than ourselves. And it's, I don't know, for me, being part of something bigger than myself is one of the things that, that makes me feel like I'm alive and that the life I'm living matters, you know? So thank you to those of you who jumped in and did something that matters to somebody else that you don't know.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool. Yeah. Thanks.
So that was a fun side quest this week.
Good side quest.
Yeah. And who knows when the next one will pop up.
I know, right?
Surely it will.
Eventually we're going to have to do a side quest for you to make a record.
That's going to be a side quest coming up in a few months. Stay tuned.
Yep.
But yeah, was there anything else from this week that you wanted to highlight?
No. Although, you know, as a segue, yeah. So,
okay.
You know, we hung out with my aunt and uncle. And we already touched upon that, but to touch upon it further, what is so wonderful for me, and I think also for you, about hanging out with them, is just how ourselves we can be when we're with them, right?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
In such an unvarnished way. Like, I can be my truest self around my Uncle Charlie and my Aunt Jean. And it's because...
It's really special to be able to do that, you know?
It's
like,
really special.
I feel the same way. Like, I feel like when we're sitting at their table, I can bring the fullness of who I am to the conversation. And I feel like that is... that I'm welcomed and that it's safe to do that. And it's, you know, like, it's pretty cool.
It's really neat, you know, when you've grown up with someone your entire life, like... Charlie, like, he lived down the street from us when I was a kid. I mean, it wasn't a street, it was a dirt road. So I grew up in the same house that my mom grew up in. And she grew up, so she grew up in that house. They bought the house and built our Nana house next door. And Charlie went down like half a mile and bought a piece of land and built himself a cabin there.
Oh,
like,
cool.
A huge log cabin.
Uh-huh.
It was like a two-story internal atrium kind of thing where you had to get up a ladder to get to like the second sort of loft areas and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was just very 70s and very awesome. super cool. And so he was a constant presence in my life growing up because they were just half a mile down the road. We saw him all of the time, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because when I was younger, like, I liked him a lot. And I knew he liked me, but, like, he wasn't tenderhearted then, really, you know?
Oh, interesting, huh?
Yeah, he's really tenderhearted now. And it's never like I thought he didn't like me or anything like that. And I want to, like, preface what I'm about to say with, like, that. But there was never it was just because I was a kid, you know what I mean? And like, and he was so cool and so smart and brilliant, but kind of in a pissed off way too. Like, he was pissed off about a lot of stuff. And hey, now that I'm 47, I get it. There's a lot to be pissed off about, right? It's interesting. Like, he led with his intellect sometimes more than his heart with me when I was a kid, which was wonderful. I learned so much from him, you know? And it's not that he was cold. It's just that, like, that's how he presented. I think that, like, being more forward with his emotions has maybe been safe, has become safer for him in his adult years, later adult years. Hmm. That's my inference. I don't know. I can't speak to his experience, but that's been my experience of it, right? Hmm. We kind of parted ways unintentionally, you know, when I moved out west, just because, again, you know, like, it was sort of pre-internet and, you know, we weren't in touch in that way. And then I got back in touch with him, like relatively recently, right? Like 3 or 4 years ago to be like, hey, can we hang out? And we've been like really hanging out a lot since. Like,
well, yeah, you've been in touch with him for longer than that. But yeah, when we started,
tangentially though,
when we started coming, we've been coming for like annual visits here to Vermont. Yeah. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I think you had the idea like we should go and see if we can hang out with my uncle, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And we had such a great time that we've now made it an annual event. Whenever we're here for our winter visit, we definitely make a trip over there.
Yep.
Because it is such a nurturing and lovely environment, and I love getting to know them.
And what's been really neat for me, like I felt like, so my Nana was a really bad alcoholic. And she got sober like when I was like 1 year old. It was a condition. Like my parents wouldn't let her come over to see me unless she got sober.
Wow.
That was the deal. And so she did it. And some of my earliest memories with my Nana are of going to AA meetings with her. Like I didn't even really get it at the time, but in retrospect, I was like, oh, those are definitely AA meetings. Sitting, you know, we're like in a room on like the technical college campus, Vermont Technical College. Like it was like some borrowed room with like a conference table kind of thing and cinder block walls. And like a percolator full of coffee, but it was the 70s, so everyone was smoking. So smoke like down to like 6 feet off the floor, you know what I mean?
Oh,
just
gosh.
A haze of smoke.
That sounds awful.
And I wasn't really picking up on what you're talking about because I was like 4, you know what I mean? But like in retrospect, I was like, oh my gosh, my Nana was taking me to AA meetings.
And so what does this have to do with your uncle?
What it has to do with my uncle is that because of how bad of an alcoholic his mom was,
mm-hmm.
he has not, I think he's maybe been a teetotaler his entire life.
Okay.
Just he doesn't touch it.
All
he doesn't drink.
All right.
And I really felt in some ways as though somehow in my act of alcoholism before I got sober, like in my 20s,
yeah.
like I was perhaps a massive disappointment to him.
Oh, well.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and maybe, I don't know if disappointment would be the right word, but that's how I felt. Again, that was my experience of it. You know, I felt shame about being that way around him, you know, and like for sure, like I freaked him out.
Well, I'm sure you probably felt shame around a lot of people for different reasons, but around your family, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
absolutely.
Makes sense.
And I was really concerned, you know, after I got sober that I had been very triggering to him and really like not a very good presence in his life, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Given his background.
Yeah.
So, you know, first of all, I had a chance to make an amends around that, which was a powerful process.
Yeah.
But also to like, to sort of awaken to the idea that not only are we totally cool and he loves me, but like he likes who I've become. Mm-hmm. And that just feels so inspiring, you know, and so magical and so exciting to me. Like, I'm used to my experience with grown-ups, like my parents, right? Like, I think that my parents really, they love me a lot, and it's really obvious that they love me a lot, and I think that they're really proud of me. Like, my dad verbalizes that to me, expresses that to me a lot.
That's cool.
You know? But I think it's in terms of, like, what I've, like, he's proud of me for a number of things. He's proud of me for getting sober. He's proud of me for what I've done with my life. He's proud of me for being an entrepreneur. He's proud of me for having figured out a way in an independent fashion to do music in a meaningful way and organize a community in our life around that. Like, all of those things he's proud for, you know? But, you know, politically is a whole different issue, you know? And that's what I kind of wanted to touch upon.
Oh, okay.
With this talk, you know? And so a brief history of, like, my parents' politics, which I think in a large degree are maybe my dad's politics. I always have gotten the sense that maybe, like, he's more of a leader in that way. You know, my parents were Reagan Democrats, meaning that they were the kind of people who voted Democratic all through the 70s, but then they were sort of dissatisfied with what they saw as an ineffectual president in President Carter. And Reagan came along, and he seemed kind of avuncular and, you know, seemed kind of moderate, wasn't, but seemed it, you know. He had a moderate persona, you know. And, you know, and they voted for him. There were a lot of people who did that. And then I think they, at a certain point, were just like, you know, they voted for a second term. Then there was George Bush the first. And all of a sudden, they're 12 years in, and I think they were like, well, I guess we're just kind of Republicans now. And the Republican Party, as we all know, has been just pulling to the right over the last 35 years really hard. And they...
Well, I think a better maybe way to describe it, I really kind of don't like the... It's shorthand, and I understand why people do it, but, like, the pulling to the right, like, what does that even mean? It's not... I mean, like what we're really seeing, the place that the Republican Party has gone has been to a place where ideas about like anti-immigrant and, you know, God, I hate to say it, and it sounds shocking to say it, but like upholding white supremacist structures in the United States.
Sure.
Like we've gotten, it's to the right sounds like, I don't know, like it's like,
it's a mild
like
way
we're
of
having
it.
Mild policy differences, yeah. Or something, but it's not like with the, what, you know, what we've seen is that there've been, it's become very radical in terms of its embrace of white Christian male power.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yep, absolutely true.
So,
and so that is that Overton window shifted, right? And it drug my parents along with it. My parents have always remained in the center of what has been the acceptable boundaries of where the Republican Party is. But those acceptable boundaries have careened to the right over the last 35 years. And my parents have done so with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you look where they are in relationship to the window, they're still just right in the middle of it. But the problem is the window is hundreds of feet further over to the right. Mm-hmm. So that's been my experience with my parents, right? Like I remember being like, it very like in college and right post-college, you know, like in the 90s, early 90s, you know, and we could have discussions. We had interesting political discussions, right, where mm-hmm. it really was much more of a tinkering around the edges, conservative economic thought versus liberal economic thought, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now it's just in the same conspiracy theory shit with them, you know,
right.
Which is really wild. And it's just Fox News is all it is. Like, you hear them talk about stuff, and then you see a tweet about it where someone said it on Fox News. And it's just, that used to be the experience,
mm-hmm.
You know. And it's not the experience anymore because Shannon and I, like 2.5 or so years ago, had to literally tell them we can't talk with you about politics anymore and you cannot bring them up or mention them around us at all. Like, literally at all. We had to put a complete embargo on that, which sounded really wild and extreme, but like, what were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say was that the way that came about was that, you know, we would come for visits and, you know, we'd have a good time. There would, you know, be just regular hanging out. And then we get into these conversations where we were being like railroaded with untrue conspiracy theory based wackadoodle, you know, talking points. And it wasn't a give and take kind of conversation. That's not what happened. It just became really unenjoyable, you know,
yeah.
and always a mark, like a black mark on what would have otherwise been like a nice week-long family visit.
Yes.
You know? And so, you know, at some point we had a conversation like, look, you know, and we talked about it in advance, you know, like it would be better if we could just avoid talking about these things because, you know, we love you and we want to nurture a relationship. And it feels like these conversations make that harder to do. And so will you please stop talking with us about politics?
Yeah.
You know,
the subtext being, we want to be able to focus in our relationship with you on the things we love. And we fucking hate this.
Yeah.
We hate this in the abstract. And we hate it about you, you know, that this is where you're at. And it's really true. Like it's repellent. It's appalling. Like my dad went to fucking Dartmouth. My mom went to Oberlin. They're not dumb people. You know what I mean?
We need an explicit logo on this episode today.
No, you can do tangential swears. You can do tangential swears.
It's evoking a lot of F-bombs.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, smart people swear a lot, right? And so here we have it. But it's been that, right? It's been that, like, really hard to stomach thing, you know? And it's colored my relationship with my parents. Like, it colored it really hard for, like, 5 years.
Because
there was in there, like, that sort of transitional five-year period where I didn't realize exactly the depths. Like, I still thought that they could be talked out of it because I'm really smart, too. You know what I mean? Like, in the same way that, like, my mom, my dad went to good schools and got good educations and learned how to think critically and, you know, like, I figured because of that and because of our common background and because of the way in which they raised me to explore things intellectually and to look for truth and to look for the right answer and to be intellectually rigorous, because of that way that they brought me up, I assumed wrongly that I would be able to defeat them with logic and with well-crafted, thoughtful arguments and with appeals to rationality and justice and all of these things that anyone who has a relative like this knows what I'm talking about. And you also know it doesn't work at all. It just doesn't work because it's a religiously based argument. And I want to clarify here that my parents are not evangelical Christians. They're not religious. But like, I just mean this form of republicanism, this form of conservatism is religious in nature. It's not intellectual or fact-based in nature.
It's something to be adhered to and...
Yeah.
Yeah, not something to be really analyzed or thought through. It's just the rules of the rules.
Yeah, that's it. And you got your team and you learn what your team's like rules are. And then you just know them and you say them back. And that's
it. So you've expressed to me when you said that you wanted to talk about this on today's podcast, that you wanted to explore what it feels like.
Yeah, right.
And I'm bringing this up because I want to hear from you what it feels like, that inability to bring them back around like you thought you might be able to. I also want you to explain why it is that you started with the conversation about your uncle and maybe what that how that feels different. Like, so maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. So first of all, how does it feel? What's the first part of your question? How does it feel? Go ahead.
That you had these high hopes that you could have conversations and bring them back around, and like, what is it, you know, that this seems to be an immovable, like, scenario in your relationship with your folks.
You know, it's really,
what does that feel like?
It's really interesting. I realized retrospectively that it almost felt like gaslighting, or maybe self-gaslighting in some weird way. Like,
can you do that?
Yeah, sure. Like, I think you can lie to yourself about stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that I was probably lying to myself after a point about the idea that there were winnable arguments here, you know? And I think I was also lying to myself about how much it hurt, you know?
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's really, really painful to feel like people you love are slipping away into the clutches of something that is just fundamentally unreasonable, wrong, and unjust.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that sometimes, like, especially if you're built like me, you just want to give it one more shot. Like, oh, let's just keep arguing. Like, and you substitute the argument for a simple acceptance of the idea that it's just really painful that they feel the way they do and that you will not be able to change it, you know?
Right.
It's almost like the argument is a way of forestalling, pushing forward, punting into the future for another day, to deal with another day, this idea that you have lost something.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand.
And I really think that, like, those arguments were a way for me just to kind of delay a grieving process.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thing to think about, like, people who are alive and right here in front of me. But in a certain way, like, I really had to grieve the loss of my parents' rationality in that way, you know?
Yeah.
And that's...
I relate to that. Like, I feel like... you know, I think we were having this kind of conversation about, like, parents and kids who have different political views, like, 10 years ago, it probably would be a much different conversation. The way, the way things have gone down in our country just in the last handful of years have really changed the stakes of things.
Yeah, I think that's
right.
You
know, and so it's, everything is heightened. The emotional component of it is heightened. It just feels more urgent and, you know, and a lot of it feels a lot more black and white. Not that anything's ever black and white, but a lot of it feels, you know, this is in this time, things do seem to have come into a relief in a way that they hadn't been before. But the grieving thing is something that that's a word that I, sort of landed upon a couple of years ago, vis-a-vis my relationship with my mom, you know, in the same kind of way, you know, I thought maybe there was a chance that we could agree, you know, in this time. And when I discovered that there was not going to be a chance for that.
Do you want to talk about that a little more?
You know, I don't know that I want to dive into the history of that. I just want to just say to you that like I came around to the idea that, that there was a lot, what I was feeling, the feeling I had about not being able to see eye to eye with her about these things that these, this, these issues in this time that feel so urgent and so emotional and so high stakes,
yeah,
that accepting the notion that we weren't going to be on the same side of that felt like a loss. Like, because for a long time I just carried around this pit in my stomach and I wanted to cry every time I thought about it. And yeah, I, like, what is this feeling that I'm having right now? Because, like, fundamentally things really on the outside haven't changed, but there's something really wrong, you know, and I really feel wrong about this inside. And when I landed upon the notion that I feel like I had something to grieve, it all clicked in and made sense for me, you know, like, yeah, it clicked in and made sense that this is what I'm feeling. And you know, when they identify like the like five stages of grief, you know, and I'm going to get them all wrong, but like there's anger, there's blaming, there's bargaining, there's
denials in there somewhere.
Denials in there. And then there's acceptance. Right.
Yep.
And I was going through all those stages like over and over again. And, you know, I'm now a number of years into this process for myself and in my close relationship. And I feel like there are times when I've start that grieving process over again for whatever reason, you know, like it's a cycle that continues. And maybe that's probably something that I guess that may happen to people who actually lose loved ones, you know, that grief is not something that you go through the cycle once and then you're done, that it's maybe something that comes in waves and you have to, you know, do it all over again. Yeah. And in that way, I feel like there are opportunities left and right for me to start the process again. But once I was able to name it as a grief, as a loss in that way, it was helpful, at least in terms of how to give myself grace in processing it, you know, and to understand that that's a legitimate feeling to be felt about this. And I don't mean to like dominate the conversation
here. No, you're doing great.
I think that for me, one of the things that I felt like that I lost, like, what is it that's lost here? Because again, like, on the outside, things fundamentally don't seem to have changed. You know, like,
right,
we're all still here, you know. But the thing that I felt like I had lost and that I needed to grieve was I felt like I lost the ability to be in the presence of people like this in my life and be fully myself and to come fully as and wholeheartedly and open as I can possibly be as a human. I lost the ability to bring all of me to the experience.
Yeah.
Because there's this really big part of me that really values and has placed so much stake in the idea of justice.
Yeah.
That I feel like is something that gets scoffed on by, you know,
yeah,
by this other worldview. It kills me. It kills me. I can't bring that part of me that wants to explore ways to bring about more justice into the world and to bring about more unity and more opportunities and equity for people and like my love for humanity, you know, like,
yeah,
I gotta withhold. I feel like I have to withhold those parts of me and those desires that I have in a way that I'm always just kind of being half me in those relationships. Yeah. And that's really sad because I want to be fully me in my close relationships. And it's really, that's the grieving. You know, yep, part of the grieving that I've done.
Yeah, and you know, I feel that too. I want to co-sign on what you just said and amplify it a little bit. And you know, it's funny. Like, I really do, and from talking with my sister and her husband about this, you know, what I've arrived at is the idea that really this is more my dad's doing. I think he's kind of the leader in this, and I think that my mom has sort of kept pace, you know, for her relationship with him, really, you know. Which is sweet in a weird way. And, you know, I think that she's also, you know, taken that ball and run with it some too, and they feed off each other to some degree. But it's tough because in a way, I feel that like my dad has robbed me of my mom a little bit, you know? And I also kind of feel like, I've got all these, like this jumble of feelings. It's weird, right? Because like what we've arrived at is this sort of agreement, right? And they, to their vast credit, have been really, really good about it. Like, they do not bring up political things at all. They don't make little side comments. They don't make little jabs. There's no little barbs with secondary meanings. There's nothing. They've been really, really good about it. But
well, that last comment you made, that happens sometimes. But increasingly, they've gotten better and better at it.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. You know, it's more than livable. It's fine. But it's weird because now I almost feel like I'm like, I have this false sense of security around it because it's not happening because like we've made it not happen. And so it's not happening. And so now it just feels kind of normal and healthy, you know, in the day-to-day interactions. Like the vibe is always good. Like it's always just really, it's pleasant and fun. And we joke and talk about stuff. And, but then I know that they have this whole other now kind of secret life.
Yeah.
You know, which is also really weird to think about because like when I talk with my sister about this kind of stuff, like I hear all the crazy, insane shit that they're thinking and talking about. Again, mostly my dad, because he, you know, Christians, there can be people who are evangelical for Christianity. He is evangelical for his political points of view. Like he will bring them up out of the clear blue sky, whether you particularly want to hear about them or not, you know, literally apropos of nothing. And, like, he will do this. He's doing this to our niece. He's doing this with my sister, like, you know, in a continued kind of way. And it's just, like, it's just this weird window when I talk with my sister about all this other side of stuff with my folks that, like, I just, that we don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better for us that we don't see it because it's just that we learn over an excruciating and long period of time that it will never resolve and there'll be no upside to it. It's not like he's going to come around. So I had to do that grieving process and sort of move on with that. But, like, it feels equally odd. You know what feels, and this is going to be sort of circling back to something I was talking about like 20 minutes ago, but like something that I really miss, like my dad for sure, and my mom also, like really, like they're proud of me. And I know they're proud of me because they say they're proud of me, you know?
Yeah.
But they're not proud of me in the fullness of me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Then they're not proud of all of me.
And that's exactly what I mean when I'm like, I don't feel like I'm fully known, you know, if I have to withhold. And it's similar to what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's really hard. Like I want them to know how out there I am in terms of like working to change the world to be a better place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm leading with like progressive ideals and a sense of justice and a desire to help lift up disenfranchised members of our society and change that calculus so they no longer are disenfranchised, mm-hmm. you know? Like doing side quests for, you know, people who have been bankrupted down to basic needs level by cancer is completely inappropriate. I feel so fortunate that we have a community where I can do that, but mm-hmm. like that's not how that should go. You know what I mean?
Meaning that you would like to be able to talk with your parents about the nature of our healthcare system that makes that a reality for your friend. That we even have to do a side quest like this when what we really ought to be doing is building a society that takes care of our sick.
Yes. And I would like to be able to
give dignity to those people.
And I would like to be able to brainstorm solutions for that with my folks.
Right.
You know what I mean? With the people who brought me into this world. I would love, like I'm able to with my aunt and uncle, to sit down with them at a table and talk about what the problems are and then talk about what it would look like if it were better.
Yeah.
So we can get more energy moving in that direction so we can actually try to improve things for people.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to letting billionaires run rampant, run roughshod over our entire society and then rely on them to drop crumbs at our feet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry about the billionaire,
man.
No,
I hear your passion and I feel you. And yeah, with the people who are, you know, the closest biologically to us in our lives.
Yes.
You know, it feels like we ought to maybe to be able to be fully ourselves and to share all of that. And the reality is that a lot of us can't. And I think there probably are people listening who have a shared experience in that way. And I, you know, if you're listening and that's you,
we want to hear from you.
We feel you.
Yeah.
And you know, and I would love to invite, you know, those of you who are in our Misfit Stars Facebook group, members of the podcast, you know, this should be a topic of conversation, that there are others that have things to add. And this is not even like a, what do you do about this kind of conversation? This is more of just like a, here's what this feels like conversation.
Yeah.
Because frankly, it does not feel great.
And also there's nothing to be done.
And yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like they're not going to change.
Right. Here's a couple things that I was thinking about. First of all, like, you know, we went and had dinner with your uncle, and it was a full and open-hearted and lovely time in all the ways that we wish we could do those things with, you know, our parents.
Yeah.
So the first thing is that, like, I think that it is possible and essential for us to find those people in our lives with whom we can do that. Because, like, yeah. I left that dinner last night with your aunt and uncle feeling refreshed.
Yes.
Loved. Yeah. Rejuvenated.
Yeah.
You know, whole. It was great. You
yeah,
know,
and seen,
seen, and heard, seen and known.
By, seen by responsible adults. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's the experience I'm craving with my mom and dad. You
yeah.
know, I would love to have them see me in the fullness of me and to approve.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. Yeah. There was a moment 2 years ago when we were out doing the Space Between tour. When a woman came up to me, I've never met her before in my life, haven't seen her since, but she came up to me after a show and she just put her hands on my shoulder and she said, your parents must be so, or your, no, specifically she said, your mom must be so proud of you. and I don't think that my mom had listened to that record yet, because
nope.
I don't think she wanted to know what I was writing about that year.
Yep.
And in that moment, I just burst into tears. The poor lady, I'm sure she had no idea what hit her.
Yeah.
But, you know, yes, but here's the thing. If we can't get it where we think we want it, maybe we can get that love and support. And we can get that love and support from other
yeah.
from other places. And so, you know, let's be grateful. That's one thing we can do for ourselves, is to really be grateful and embrace that when we do receive it in the
yeah.
world, you know. And there are so many people in our lives who fit that bill, you know. The second thing I was thinking about in terms of the relationship we have with our close family with whom we feel this rift is, you know, like, it's been my mantra for a long time, and I come back to it. I have to remind myself and come back to it over and over again, is that I can nurture the things that we have in common.
Yep.
And I can let the relationship live in that fertile ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I will take what I can get on that front, you know,
yeah.
because we have limited time with our relatives,
yep.
and it's important with our families, with people who mean something to us, and it's important to make the most of what we can. And I think, you know, the really immature thing to do would be to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say, well, screw you, and I'm out of here, you know.
And it's tempting sometimes. I feel you, people. I get it.
Yeah.
Anyone who's listening to this going, yeah, that's what I want to do, I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, these relationships in our lives that are not in any way, like, directly harmful or threatening to us. And so, you know, if a relationship were harmful or threatening,
yeah.
it's perfectly fine to walk away, you know, if it's not a safe thing for you. But that's not the characteristic of these relationships. And so to be able to nurture the ground that is common, you know, and to just try to pour ourselves into those aspects of the relationship.
Yeah.
That's been helpful, and it's been a source of joy, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
we enjoy watching gangster movies with your parents.
Yep. A lot.
I didn't see The Godfather until I was in your parents' living room
yeah.
several years ago, you know?
And just watched The Irishman with them, had a great time.
The Irishman. Yeah.
yeah.
The Irishwoman.
No, Irishman.
I thought you said Irishwoman, but that's the one they should make next.
Right.
They should do the video or the movie of all the gangsters' wives. Jimmy Hoffa's wife, Joe.
Yeah.
She could be the lead. Anyway,
heck yeah.
But, you know, like, we finished watching that last night. It was a truly enjoyable time, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, pouring.
And we had some wonderful conversations too. Like, we went out to dinner with them the other night. They took us out to dinner. They like to do that. It's like our treat when we come home, is they'll take us to a nice restaurant. We went and had a 3-hour dinner with them the other night, and conversation flowed the entire time. It's like, it's not awkward or weird. And I want to underscore that too. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that is directly to do with the boundaries that we set. You know?
Yeah.
Which is really kind of encouraging to me. Like, the idea that, like, if you can kindly communicate boundaries around something and really, like, ask for what you need. Like, it was really hard for us to do, but we finally, we did it. We asked for what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, our relationship with them has really gotten to a much, 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 much better place where we can actively enjoy it. Not just, like, some weird kind of thing where we're, like, trying to enjoy it, but not really. Like, we really are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. You know, it's not as good as it could be. It's not the ideal, but it's better than it was.
Yeah. Tell me how you're feeling right now.
Good. You know,
good.
I feel good right now. It's nice. Thanks for letting me explore this stuff. Thanks for exploring it with me.
Sure.
But, you know, also, like, I've made my peace with this, that whole, like, grieving process I was talking with you about, like, I've had to deal with that, you know?
Well, and so, I'm here to tell you from my own experiences that you're probably going to experience that again.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a one-and-done scenario. Like,
no.
That's just the nature of life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I think you're absolutely right about that. And there will be repeated injuries, you know what I mean? Like, there's always little things, like, you saw them celebrating some screwed-up impeachment news on the iPad, like, making little clandestine thumbs up to each other. You know,
it was a bummer.
Yeah. You know, and me hearing about it from you was a bummer too. You know, I was bummed that they did it. I was bummed that you had to see it. I was just bummed.
Yeah.
It was a bummer all the way around. But like, again, you know, we know what they are, you know, and it's important to remember that. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, you know, it's not like because we're not seeing how they are acting, they're not that. They
yeah.
are that, you know,
yeah.
and it's important to remember, like, just because we're not suffering because of it at the moment doesn't mean that it's changed for the better.
Right.
You know?
Right. I really feel for you. I feel like I'm watching you, listening to you in real time, really process some stuff. And I think what I'm hearing as I'm listening to you is that maybe you're not quite done processing it either.
Oh, hell no.
You know?
And I probably won't be.
It's okay. But I want to commend you for stepping out and talking about stuff that you haven't wrapped up with a bow and being okay with going there
thanks.
And getting messy.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, that's, you know, it's important. It's important. It's important for me because, you know, sometimes, like, hearing yourself talk about things is a great way to figure out how you feel about them, you know?
Here's a piece of advice, everybody. If you want to figure some stuff out in your life, start a podcast.
Yep, helpful. Very helpful. And the other thing, too, is that, like, if there's anyone who's listening right now whom this has helped even a little tiny bit, then it was completely worthwhile. Because that's the real reason to do it, you know?
Yeah.
That's why we share our experiences with you. That's why we share our experiences with each other. Because we want to help lift everybody up. We want to help lift each other up.
Yeah.
You know? And
well,
I don't mean we, you, and me. I just mean the human race. Like, that's how humans process things.
Well, you know, like we were talking about in last week's episode about Kobe Bryant, you know, and the people's reactions to a celebrity dying, and the one tweet that I saw about, you know, maybe all of this is just us helping to heal each other a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it comes back around to that again, that idea, you know, if we can share ourselves with each other, hopefully we can heal each other a little bit. And
and
to tie back into the, you know, the being something, being a part of something greater than ourselves also, you know, by showing up in this way with each other, for each other, hopefully we can build a movement that I don't know, that makes an impact on the world with the idea that, like, we can acknowledge our pain and we can use it to move forward and make this place a better place for everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Including my parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Absolutely. I'm with you on that. So thanks
right
for
on.
Sharing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for
and
going there with me.
Thank you all for listening.
Very much.
To our rabbit warren of thoughts and feelings
yeah.
about family and politics.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
So we're going to be back again next week. We'll
yes,
be
we are.
Recording from Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Like 2,500 miles away. Whoa.
I know.
It's a transcontinental podcast. How
yeah.
exciting is that, listeners?
Very exciting.
Yeah.
But we will be back home next week and back again with another episode. Until then, if you've not become a member of Misfit Stars, this would be a great time to do that.
Yeah. Did you get value from this?
Yes, if you did, then you can go to misfitstars.com/join and you choose the level that you want to join up at. You get some great stuff. There are stickers involved.
Yeah.
There's
everyone gets stickers
a
now.
A t-shirt involved. There is a brand new Misfit Stars mug involved.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, the t-shirt level now is $10. We just we just changed everything up and made all the levels much more good.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a simple way to describe it.
They're much gooder than
they
were
before. Yeah. It's wonderful. So the t-shirt level used to be 20. Now it's 10. So if you support at the $10 a month level, if you have $10 American to spare
t-shirt.
Per month, you'll just get a t-shirt. Holy cow. And they're super cute, good, high quality t-shirts with an awesome design. And they start conversations and they're just great.
Yeah. And also all of our Misfit Stars members get an invitation to our private Facebook group.
Yeah.
Where we have routinely just really lovely conversations with our stars, people from all over the world who chat with each other about stuff that's going on in their lives, things that we've talked about on the podcast. I really do hope that we're going to get to have a conversation about this particular podcast in our group.
We had the best conversation in there over the last week, and it's still ongoing. People just sharing in a long-form way about what grieving processes look like for them. And it's just been amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And valuable to me, you know what I mean? Like, I learned stuff in this group of people. And so if you want to self-select yourself in there and participate in a deeper way with some like-minded people, oh my gosh, we would love to have you.
Yeah, get there by going to misfitstars.com/join and joining up. So thank you.
Yeah.
It is time for us to sign off.
Yeah, let's do it. So hey, people, thank you for listening. We're very grateful for all of you. Thanks for spending time with us.
Yes, and we will see you next week. Until then, take good care of yourselves.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.